Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from the 5th chapter of Matthew, where again we hear Jesus say within the context of the Sermon on the Mount, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven." This is God's word. In preparing for the message today, it was kind of striking that the following quote was listed in various sources as an Irish prayer, an Irish blessing, and an Irish curse. So I'll let you decide which one really fits the bill. It says, "May those who love us, and those that don't love us, may God turn their hearts. And if he doesn't turn their hearts, may he turn their ankles, so we'll know them by their limping." Like I said, blessing or curse, that's for you to decide. That kind of brings up an important point, and that is that one of the greatest challenges of living a Christian life is actually bringing Christ into the relationships that you have with other people. And partially that's because Jesus has a radically strange way of acting that cuts against the grain of human nature. Again, here in Matthew 5, in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And he goes on to ask some pretty hard and pointed questions. Questions like, if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Don't even the Gentiles do that? Jesus is saying everyone loves people who love them in return. Anyone can be kind to people who are kind to them. But if you're going to follow me, Jesus says, you're going to have to widen the circle of people you love and are willing to serve. What do you think about that, really? When someone treats you in a way that you don't like, it's almost automatic that we kind of lower them on our list of likable people, and if they really offend, really hurt us, then it's on. We want revenge. We want the eye for the eye, the tooth for the tooth. And then Jesus says something like, pray for your enemies. What Jesus demands here, it just isn't fair. Now, it's been said before, but it bears repeating until we believe it, that when we carry around a grudge, we're just hurting ourselves. It used to be that armies carried around cannonballs just in case they came across the enemy. Now, those cannonballs can do a lot of damage, but at the same time, they limit how fast you can move. Would you agree a grudge is a lot like a cannonball? It's heavy. It can do a lot of damage. But it doesn't make much sense to carry it around with you, and most likely your enemy would be kind of shocked to learn that you've been stalking them with a cannonball. A lot better to take it and just drop it at the cross of Jesus. And you just might discover it's a lot easier to get around. But even if intellectually you agree it's healthier to forgive a grudge, you still, in your heart, might cling to something someone did to you. You may choose to continue to open an old wound instead of letting it heal. And the idea of loving your enemies and praying for them might just sound like foolish religious talk to you. If that's the case, God's Word reminds us today of something rather uncomfortable, and that is, at one time, you and I were enemies of God. Romans 5 verse 10 says it very directly, while we were God's enemies, He made us friends through the death of His Son. Enemies with God. Our sin put us on the wrong side of the battlefield. It's in our nature to want to try to face off against God, to be the one who calls the shots. We don't want someone telling us what to do. We want control. We want what we want. And if anyone, including God, is going to get in the way of that, well, you know how that goes. When somebody hurts us, we want an eye for an eye. We want revenge. We want it to be fair. But what if God applied that standard to you and me? What if He said, okay, you want it to be fair? Let's be fair. And I'll start with you. I'm going to give you exactly what you deserve for every impure thought, every time you've lived like I don't matter, every time you were cruel to someone, every time you ignored someone who needed you, every time you were petty and selfish and hateful towards someone else. You want to be fair? I'm going to make you pay that bill. What if God really gave us what we deserved? But listen again to Romans 5, verse 10. While we were God's enemies, He made us His friends through the death of His Son. We have hope precisely because God is not fair. What do I mean? This. While we were still enemies with Him, He took steps to make us friends. While we were still enemies with Him, He offered His Son, Jesus, as payment for our sins. Instead of destroying us, His enemies, He destroyed His Son. He punished your sin and mine, all right. But He didn't punish you. He punished His Son, who had done nothing wrong. Our sins have been dealt with in Jesus, and now we are invited into friendship with our former enemy. Thank God that He is not fair as we reckon fairness. Now, all throughout this Sermon on the Mount, you may have noticed that Jesus keeps asking His followers to do things that seem impossible. But what we recognize again and again is that Jesus never once asks us to do something that He wouldn't do Himself, and that He did do Himself. When He says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that wasn't just a nice teaching that He gave to people. He lived it. He did it. Recall that as He was being nailed to His cross, Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them Because they don't know what they're doing. And those can be words for you and me to live by. Once enemies of God Almighty, we are now friends with the Father through Jesus, which means you can release the power of forgiveness in your life because Jesus forgives you and forgives through you. And Jesus simply wants His people to live out the foolish-looking way of forgiveness. A pastor during the American Revolution named Peter Miller lived in Ephrata, Pennsylvania, and he happened to enjoy the friendship of none other than George Washington. In Ephrata also lived a man named Michael Whitman, a man who did everything in his power to oppose and humiliate Pastor Miller. Just never missed an opportunity. Then one day, Michael Whitman was arrested for treason. He was sentenced to die. And when Pastor Peter Miller found out, he traveled 70 miles, 70 miles on foot to Philadelphia to plead for the life of the traitor. Peter, George Washington said, I cannot grant you the life of your friend. Friend? Pastor Miller said, he's the most bitter enemy I have. What? Said Washington. You walked 70 miles to save the life of your enemy? That puts the matter in a different light. The pardon is granted. Peter Miller took Michael Whitman back home to Ephrata. Not an enemy anymore, but a friend. Now, does that story sound ridiculous to you? Or realistic? It all depends on how well you know the Savior Jesus and how much you depend on His grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Your Son has told us we are to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. And that flies in the face of everything we think, every way we feel, who we are as human beings. And yet You have reminded us through Your word today that at one time we were enemies with You, and that didn't stop You from sending Your Son to pay every sin debt we ever owed with His life, with His death on the cross. Lord, may that gospel change us utterly, so that in our connection with Jesus we may indeed pray for those who wish us ill. Pray that You would turn their hearts by the power of Your Spirit, that they would walk in the good news of reconciliation and peace through the shed blood of Jesus our Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen.